This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 38 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me now, good friend of mine, Justin Michael with DNVR Rams. We just heard the Clay rejoin there. I saw a tweet today, Justin. Could Clay Millen be the best quarterback in the Mountain West Conference this upcoming season?
Hey, man, you never know. I mean, projection-wise, I think it's a fair assertion to make that he's going to take a pretty substantial leap, assuming that, you know, the offensive line is even remotely better. I mean, they were literally the worst in the country last year. So as long as they're just not absolutely awful, he should benefit greatly. And they've got a lot more talent at receivers. You know, I think he's definitely going to be in that conversation for one of the best in the league.
Well, who's got kind of the guy up there? I mean, I keep looking at Talen. Is it Talen Green? Boise State. You could just tell when he finally got his moment, it's like, oh, okay, he's going to take over there for the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, he was a stud, and him and Clay both have really, really bright futures. Talen a little bit more of a dual threat, although I think he's a better pocket passer than he gets credit for. I was just so impressed with how poised he played down the stretch. It's tough to be in that position that he was in as a true freshman, going in after three or four games for Hank Bachmeier, who had been, you know, a 3-4 year starter. That's a lot of pressure, especially since they had a slow start. And as soon as they put him in, that offense just took off.
Well, we'll see what happens, man. I'm excited to see what Clay can do behind a better offensive line, and we sure think that that's going to be the case next season. But I hope so, because I'm rooting for the guy. He showed a lot of really interesting flashes last season.
Oh, I mean, he has all the skills you want to see. He's got insane arm talent. He's really accurate. He's more mobile than I realized coming in. He showed some of that escapability after he came back from injury. I don't know if you necessarily want him running around all the time, but the fact that he can, you know, kind of extend the play a little bit, that's great. I think he's got a really bright future. They got to protect him. The kid's tough as nails. He kept getting up after just taking a beating last year, but that's not a sustainable way to play, especially for multiple years.
Well, Justin Michael joining us from DNVR Rams. Obviously, we could talk Rams. We can talk pretty much anything with you, Justin. But I wanted to kind of get into this. You were talking about Sonny Lubick and the whole College Football Hall of Fame thing. And I wanted to bring you on because you know more about this than I do. I'm really strict with my pro Hall of Fames. I'm really strict. And people hate me for this. College, not so much, because there's so many teams, there's so many conferences, and, you know, the Mountain West is at a different level than the SEC. So I tend to look at, did you make an impact on your team in the conference for years and years to come? And obviously, Sonny Lubick did that. But what are the rules, Justin? You have to have a winning percentage of, like, over 60 or something as a head coach?
Yeah, if you're a head coach, you have to have coached for at least 10 years, and you have to have a winning percentage of 600. So you have to have won 60% of the games in your career, which, you know, objectively, if you are going to set a baseline, that's probably a fair number. That means you won more than you lost. But like you mentioned, and as I wrote in my piece last summer, I reshared it yesterday, it just feels wrong to ignore the context of what Sonny did at CSU. Historically, this is not a program that has really done anything. They were terrible before he came in. They've been largely terrible since he left. To me, like, how do you accurately tell the history of college football representing the most important figures in the game without Sonny? And that's why I think there needs to be more nuance to this process, especially because, you know, one of the things that can hurt the players, even if they meet the qualifications on the field, if they got arrested, let's say, they can be held out. And that's actually the case with legendary CSU defensive lineman Mike Bell. He meets the standards. He should be in, but he got in trouble post-playing career, some drug sale type stuff, so not good. But, I mean, Sonny's as good as it gets. If we can hurt players for, you know, what they did off the field, why can't we elevate people for the great things they did?
Yeah, and this is, again, where I differ with between college football and the pros. I do, you know, college is a way different game. It is about an impact on what you're doing, longevity of a career. I mean, what was he, Justin? He was there from, what, 93 to 07 or something, 06?
Yeah, 93 through 07, so 14 years. I mean, after 93, he didn't have another losing season until 04, I believe. So it was just a decade plus of really sustained success year in, year out, CSU in the top 25. And the other thing people don't consider, there were three times where CSU went 7-5 and better and didn't get a bowl invite because it was harder back then. He should have even more postseason accolades. If he did what he did in the modern era, it wouldn't even be a debate.
Yeah, nowadays, I mean, you just gotta find a way to win, what, six games, and you're in.
Yeah.
So it was way more difficult at that point. Plus, seeing the transition through from the WAC to the Mountain West, too, I think that's a big thing.
Oh, it absolutely was. And, you know, frankly, while I do think the Mountain West should get more respect now than it does, back then, when you're thinking late 90s WAC, early 2000s Mountain West, you still have BYU, who's really good. Utah is killing it. I mean, TCU comes into the picture. Those were not, like, they weren't playing a lowly Nevada or a San Jose State. Those were legitimate top 25 programs they were facing week in and week out.
We're talking to Justin Michael with DNVR Rams. Well, you know, I'm with you on Sonny Lubick, man. I mean, if you're even kind of a Rams fan, or not even necessarily a Rams fan, you kind of know a little bit about the history of college football, Sonny Lubick's name should be in the mix.
Yeah, I don't even think it's debatable, and especially when you factor in the success he had as a defensive coordinator at Miami in the 80s. Like, he has been a part of some of the greatest programs of those periods, and it's wrong to me. I get it. Numbers are numbers. They have the rules, and there's a part of me that's probably letting my emotion, my nostalgia trump the reasoning that they have. I get that they have to have standards, but it just feels like we're going to lose all these important pieces. And Sonny's not even the only one. Mike Leach, he's not going to be eligible either. You're telling me he wasn't one of the most important figures in college football history? He revolutionized the game.
That's insane. It's insanity. Mike Leach, Sonny Lubick, huge names in the world of college football. And because of the winning percentage thing, it just locks people out.
I'm going to be pushing hard for this. If I do anything in my career, it will be annoy the people running the College Football Hall of Fame social media, because I'm not going to stop pounding.
Well, you put together that piece, as you mentioned, last year, too, so I highly recommend folks check that out with DNVR Rams. Really good case for Sonny Lubick and what he did there. How about this one, Justin? We've been talking a lot about, obviously, the Buffs, the Big 12 possibilities, all of that. But for Rams fans interested in that, I mean, then you start asking the question, what does that mean for CSU? Because if the Buffs go and if other teams start going left and right, I mean, what's going to be left of the Pac-12? Let's just say, in a perfect world, Joe Parker's on the phone, Pac-12's like, hey, we want you in, we're going to make it work. Do you jump quickly to the Pac-12, or are you kind of like, wait a second, because that TV deal, I don't know, and I don't know that the future of the Pac-12 is really bright. Maybe the future of the Pac-12 is, maybe there is no Pac-12 in 5 to 10 years.
It's definitely possible, especially with, you know, the Big Ten could always come in and take Oregon and Washington or Stanford at any given notice. Any of those schools would jump. You're constantly worried about the possibility of some of those four corner schools going to the Big 12, especially if they don't get that desired media contract. That's kind of what's going to dictate all this. If you're CSU, though, you would have to jump at it, because while I don't think the Pac-12 is today what it used to be, and it won't be even more, you know, moving forward, to be associated with schools like Stanford, you know, Oregon State, Washington State, I still think that would be a big step up from, you know, New Mexico and San Jose State. I do appreciate the history that CSU has with schools like UNM and Wyoming and all that, but some of those Pac-12 schools, just from an academic standpoint, and that's the one thing we always have to factor in here, is it's university presidents making these decisions. They want to be associated with what's considered the premier institutions in the country, both athletically and academically.
Well, and I sound like a broken record on this, but that's why, again, regardless of what we see with CU, with the Big 12, whatever, this year is the most important year for Colorado State, because with all this conference realignment and everything, I mean, you have to, I said it last year, you have to put your best foot forward. We kind of felt like, Justin, back in the Bobo days, the early days, that, oh man, CSU's rolling. We got the new stadium. Mike Bobo's consistently getting into bowl games. Maybe it's just a matter of time until the Rams are in a Power 5 conference. And then, obviously, Bobo's last couple of seasons were rough and haven't really got back to that realistic talk just yet.
Yeah. I mean, you know me. I try and keep things pretty positive. I still think there's a bright hope for CSU potentially moving forward. But, frankly, they wasted 10 years. They should have been one of these G5 schools that was in consideration when the Big 12 lost Texas and Oklahoma. The fact that they got leapfrogged by some of these schools is very frustrating, and we're seeing it with San Diego State now. San Diego State, the only thing they have over CSU is they haven't been completely, you know, a mess on the football field. No, they're not the national brand that Boise State is, but they have the basketball prestige. They have the market, much like CSU does with the metro area. Now they have the stadium, and they've been winning. The one thing CSU hasn't done, they got the stadium. It's great. You have all these selling points. But at some point, it can't just be hypothetical. They have to actually have some substance here. And hopefully it's coming under Norvell. But you're running out of time quickly.
No question. And Justin, I got about a minute and a half here. Refresh my memory. San Diego State, basically, are they like, hey, Mountain West, we're coming back, but can you kind of give us an exemption just in case, or just in case we get a call? Like, what to refresh my memory there? What happened?
So essentially, San Diego State reached out to the Mountain West, and what they wanted to do was say, we intend to leave. Not necessarily we are leaving. Ah. We intend to leave, but hey, can you give us an extension on this deadline? Because if they don't let the Mountain West know by June 30th, payment goes from $17 to $34 million. Also, don't withhold the money that we would typically be losing by leaving the conference. And we want a four-year payment plan to give you all this. And the Mountain West said, no, thank you.
Wow. That's insane. It reminds me of the scene in Old School with Vince Vaughn. He's like hanging out with a college girl, and she's like, what's your number? He's like, I tell you what, give me your number just in case something happens to my wife, and I'll give you a call. That's what it reminds me of.
That's exactly what it was. They want, you know, their cake and to eat it too. No. And the Mountain West is basically like, look, we can't stop you from leaving, but we've got about $20 million worth of incentives to, you know, tell you to stick it.
Yeah. So they out then? Is San Diego State going to be out officially?
We'll see. I'm actually going to do a podcast on that later. I think eventually you work something out if they don't get the invite, just because there is value in having San Diego State. They make the Mountain West more valuable. But I think you kind of got to flex your muscles a little bit here if you're the Mountain West and make them sweat it out. You know, maybe you withhold this $6 million payment they're supposed to get here in a couple weeks. You pay it back down the line. But you kind of need to, if you're these other schools, be like, look, we all want brighter futures, but we're not going to let you just walk all over us on your way out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Justin Michael, DNVR Rams, my man. Appreciate you as always. Enjoy your stuff, and let's keep this going. Let's connect soon, okay?
Always good to talk with you, man. Go Nuggets.
All right, my friend. Appreciate it. Justin Michael, DNVR Rams. Go Nuggets. I know he's a Nuggets guy, too. 11:51 the time. We'll take a short break. Wrap up hour number one. We're trying to get Dempsey on the line. I'm not sure if we're going to get him in the second or third hour, but we'll see. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.